Senator Reid, I'd like to start with a question about President Donald Trump. There are competing schools of thought. Some people think the president makes outlandish statements, like his unfounded charge that President Obama tapped his phone at Trump Tower as a form of distracting from other issues. But there's some members of Congress who question whether the president is able to separate fact from fantasy. What do you think?
I think it's a lot more of the former than the latter. I think he has consistently tried to disrupt the discussion if it's something that wasn't favorable to him, and tries to reinforce the discussion when it is favorable to him. I think there's a tactic there. Some of it is personality, temperament, of kind of being short fused might be one way to describe it in terms of taking slights and retaliating. But I think there's more deliberation to it than simply just reaction.
In terms of the Republican health care plan, what are your top concerns about that?
Well, it would disrupt and eviscerate health care progress we've made in the state of Rhode Island. We've got roughly 100,000 people that have gained coverage. Our uninsured rate has dropped dramatically. It would have impacts particularly on our hospitals and our medical facilities, not just in terms of their ability to provide care, but their employment. So it's going to have an economic impact. The way they're structuring it, it would disfavor in middle-class, mature individuals, 50 to 65. They were the ones that would see the biggest hit. And many of those people just couldn't afford to continue to get health insurance at a time they need it. From the economic aspects, from the employment aspects, from the aspects of providing preventative care so that the children particularly don't end up sicker than they should be because they don't get care or treatment. It's just a disastrous proposal.
Democrats have been joined by conservatives in criticizing the plan. Do you expect the parts of the plan that you find most objectionable to be approved by Congress?
It's at this juncture we're doing all we can to push back on it. There are ways in which the present American healthcare system can be improved. The Obamacare, Affordable Care Act, there are improvements, but they're not talking about improvements. They're talking about sort of demolition and halfway measures to reproduce healthcare, and which ironically benefit the wealthiest Americans. Certainly the tax proposals embedded in the plan would give huge benefits to the wealthiest Americans, rather than making sure people have access to health care, which was at the heart of the Obamacare effort. We'd like to work with Republicans who want to make practical, pragmatic improvements to Obamacare, and we're hoping they emerge.
Attorney General Jeff Sessions recused himself from any present or future investigation concerning President Trump's presidential campaign last year. You're among those calling for the appointment of a special prosecutor. Do you expect that to happen?
I hope it happens, because I think we have to show the American people that there is a thorough and fully independent investigation of all these activities so that we can resolve once and for all what happened at the campaign. The intelligence agencies have come forward to us in a public hearing. Senator McCain and I chaired the first public hearing, and they declared without any significant equivocation that the Russians were involved. It was ordered by Putin directly. This was not some rogue agency. That it involved not just hacking, but a very systematic disinformation campaign, that the goal was to disrupt the Clinton campaign and to favor as much as they could the Trump campaign. I think they started out with the idea of just creating chaos, and then they began to have an effect that might have even surprised themselves in terms of the ultimate outcome of the election. But that's clearly on the record. What we have to establish is whether there are coincidental or deliberate connections between the Trump campaign and this Russian activity.
What's the next step if a special prosecutor is not appointed?
Simultaneous with the Justice Department activities, there is the Intelligence Committee, the Senate Intelligence Committee, who is examining all of this. I am a non-voting member because I'm the senior Democrat on the Armed Services Committee, and we're taking that very seriously. Senator Mark Warner of Virginia is the ranking Democrat. Senator Burr of North Carolina is the Republican chair. And we're trying to work on a bipartisan basis to get at all these different aspects of the campaign and what consequences they might have going forward.
Does it surprise you that Americans are not more outraged about Russian meddling in the presidential election?
It is a bit surprising. This is a significant intrusion into the very fabric of our government. We assume, as we always have, that our elections are free and fair, and they are ultimately about the will of the American people. They're not a product of manipulation by outside forces, particularly foreign governments. And here we already have the conclusion by the intelligence community that a foreign government was deeply engaged in trying to disrupt our elections. In fact, Russian behavior across the globe, it's they do this all the time, unfortunately. In the Ukraine and other places where they have interfered with elections, they have interfered with political parties. This is something that we all should be very disturbed about. And it's something that we really do have to get a conclusion.
President Trump could have the opportunity to appoint a lot of federal judges over his time in office. How will this impact American life, in your view, and is there any effective countermeasure by Democrats?
Well, at the Supreme Court level, we still maintain procedurally a 60-vote provision to take up the final vote. And we assume, because this is the same rule that was used with President Obama, that 60 votes will prevail procedurally. And so we'll have an opportunity to weigh in on the Supreme Court justice in terms of getting to a final vote. With respect to circuit and district court judges, it's a 50-vote margin. If the Republicans are willing to exhaust the 30 hours of debate, which is, I'm sure they will, then it's a question of majority. Then in that case, it really turns on the merits of the individual appointee and whether Republicans would join us in opposing them, or I hope in many cases whether the judge is of such a high quality he or she should be confirmed, and it'll be a strong vote. So that turns on the quality of the individual.
What impact would that have if President Trump is able to appoint a large number of federal judges over his time in office?
Well, I would assume that he would, in fact, lean towards more conservative judges. The impact, I think, comes in terms of what I've noticed, and not alone, but noticed that a growing empowerment of corporations over individuals when it comes to the federal judiciary. That, I think, is not something that's going to be helpful to the average person when they don't, for example, have rights to dispute a arbitration claim that they were not aware of. Those are some of the types of issues that are emerging in many different quarters. That's one direction that we have to be very much concerned about.
Senator Jack Reed, thank you for sitting down with us.